land is, come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are the people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever, and his faithfulness continues through all generations. In the Bible, it says, one, Thessalonians 5:18, it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And I think that means, even when times don't look good and you seem like, God, why? Or like, why should I thank God? But thank God always. Thank you for giving. Thank you that he sacrificed his own son for you because he loved you so much. Thank you that he gave life on the earth for you. So even when times seem deep and dark, thank him no matter what. So remember that. Remember, whether it's good or bad, God is always going to lead you through that. And he always is there for you. Go give thanks to him, no matter what the circumstances are. And with that, let's have a great service. God bless. Thank all of y'all.
Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Piedmont Fellowship Church on this Sunday. It is also Memorial Sunday, where we remember and respect the people who have given the ultimate sacrifice for our country and for our freedom. So we will also honor and celebrate them today. And it's a Sunday that we also celebrate during the Easter Sundays, where we will be focusing on more of the power of the resurrection life in this world. Thank you for joining here and also online. I know many have to send me notes that they are also watching YouTube, that people that we don't know of. So that is a good thing that we, even though we don't see anybody joining in Zoom, there are people who are watching on YouTube. So that is a great blessing that we have. See how God works through many different ways. Even though a small church, yeah, it can reach out to many, many people that who you don't even know. Thanks be to God for that. The announcements are in the second page in the bulletin. Those are regular announcements, and I will note some special announcements. Continue to donate to the food bank ministry. The books are also going to be available that you can sell for $10 that will benefit our mission work. And our third Thursday luncheon is going to be on June 19 at the Golden Corral, which is reopened now. So please join for a time of fellowship lunch. And also the Association of Independent Methodist Conference, the 60th annual conference will be in Mobile, Madison, Alabama, June 19th from 5 p.m. starting at 21st, like Thursday evening through Saturday noon. So those of you who want to register, please register there, and there will be a special ordination service for me and the rest of the pastors who are getting ordained, and transferring ordination from the United Methodist Church also will be done during that time for the installation on Saturday, the 21st. We are planning to go, so those who are planning to go, let us know. We can go together if it needs to be. And today is the last Sunday of the month. As we celebrate our blessings of the month, we'll have lunch after service with our Hispanic folks. Please join. All are welcome. Please join for a time of fellowship and lunch after service today. Next Sunday will be the first Sunday of June. We'll have Holy Communion. All are welcome. Pray about that and come prepared for the Holy Communion. Evangeline and I will be traveling on Thursday. We start from here and we'll be out for the next two Sundays. And we have Pastor Tim and Jenny here, and we know that it's going to be a pleasure and a blessing that you have come here and joined us during this time. And they will be here. Pastor Tim will be preaching. And also they will be joining for the Holy Communion next Sunday at the Spanish Church. Please pray for our travel. We'll be out two Sundays. Plan to be back on the 12th. So several things challenging. Yes, the war between Pakistan and India. The other one is the weather there is getting bad. So please keep us in our prayers. Thank you for your continued and faithful support of the ministries of this church in this community by your prayers, presence, gift, service, and witness. God loves a cheerful giver. And please use our facilities online on our website, you want to donate over with your credit card and stuff like that. I wanted to especially welcome Amanda, Marcus' daughter, and also your son and daughter, Otto and Lily. They are back in the nursery. Thanks for joining us here today. Welcome. Please say a word of welcome during our fellowship time to Amanda. Are there any other announcements? If there are no other announcements, let us continue worshiping God together. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you are able, please stand for the opening hymn. Hymn number 577, God of Grace and God of Glory.
God of grace and God of glory, on thy people pour thy power. Bright and ancient church's story, bring her birth to glorious flower. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, for the facing of this hour.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Eternal and loving God, we thank you for this time that you have given us to come before you in this church and also online as your children to worship you and adore you. We thank you for the gift of life and all the many blessings that you shower upon us every day, the good health and strength in our bodies, to get up this morning and see a new day, and to be here worshiping together, Lord. We come before you with a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving, full of thanksgiving in our heart, O God. Thank you for your faithfulness. Every day, even when we have been unfaithful, you have been faithful to us, O God. We praise you for the miraculous ways that you answer our prayers through our times of grief and darkness and pain. You are always with us, Lord. We thank you for this nation and the opportunities of freedom that we have enjoyed in this country, Lord. We remember those who fought for defending our country, for our freedom and liberty by their dedicated service and paid the ultimate price of giving their lives. We pray for those who continue to serve in the military, O God. We remember those, your servants, remembering with gratitude, courage and strength. We pray for the leaders of the government, our president, vice president and cabinet members and many others, and grant them wisdom to do good in the spirit of peace and justice, O God. Help us, Lord, and teach us to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, and to fight despite the pains of wounds, to labor without asking for reward. Help us, Lord, today to worship you in truth and in spirit, with all the saints in this world and angels in heaven. Let your name be lifted up and the people be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So greeting time now, if you're able, please stand up and greet each other in Christian love.
Congregation choice today is another one from Lou. It is entitled, We'll Understand It All Better By and By. It's page 525 in the Blue Book. No one in the choir knew it except Lou. So hopefully some of you out there know it.
How many of you know? How many of you know that song? Raise your hand. So you have to lead us.
We'll Understand It Better By and By.
Okay, Marcus will be leading us from the congregation.
I don't sing, I just hear. It's better sometimes to listen.
Yeah.
Was it okay?
Yeah.
We'll understand it better by and by. All right.
I tried to get them to do it in the gospel way, but they wouldn't do it.
Yeah, sing like the Baptist
folks. All right, we'll do next time, all right?
Yeah, okay. Next time we'll sing like the Baptist folks.
We'll do the responsive reading now, which is Psalm 130. It's on page 848 in the blue book. If you are able, please stand for the responsive reading.
Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord, Lord, hear my voice.
Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications.
If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand?
But there is forgiveness to you.
I wait for the Lord, my soul waits. In the Lord's word I hope.
My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. More than those who watch for the morning.
O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, with the Lord is plenteous redemption.
And the Lord will redeem Israel.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. We come before God during our prayer time to share our prayers of blessings that we receive in our lives and thank God for all the blessings together. And also we will share our burdens and concerns as a church family here together and also lift them up to the throne of grace of God, trusting in God's promise that he will answer our prayers according to his time and his will. So let us share our prayers of blessings and concerns at this time. The regular prayer requests that we share regularly are on the back of the bulletin in those boxes listed there under prayer requests. Keep this for your regular prayers on a daily basis. Pray for these people and these items. Pray for Gene McBrayer, Grace Haynes, Harry Basil, Carol Clements, Jerry Raines, Sean and Amy Conway. And also continue to remember Wayne and Carol. Pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, many others who serve us behind the scenes, our grocery clerks, trash workers, and delivery people, many, many, many others, farmers, construction workers. I can't stop the list, but it's a lot of people work every day behind the scenes to make our life easier. Let's not forget that, and let's not forget them. Keep them in our prayers always, and be thankful, and their families. Let's pray for our nation, our leaders of the Congress, our president, many, many others, who political leaders and social leaders who influence our society and also make decisions that affect our life. Let's keep them in our prayers that they will be guided by God's wisdom, that they will do the right thing and make the right decisions. Also pray for the world leaders that they will also fear God when they make decisions and bring peace to this world. And pray for our church. Let us pray for the future of our church that God will continue to guide us with the Holy Spirit to do his witness in this community, to continue the opportunity, to use the opportunities that God has given us to serve this community. And all the churches in this community, remember all the pastors, the work that they are doing in this area, and also around the world, missionaries who work in difficult parts of the world, pray for them and their families. Those are the regular prayer requests that I wanted to share. Anybody else have any special prayer requests to share?
Yes, don't forget the people that affected by the tornadoes of last week and the floods.
Where was it?
Kentucky, Missouri, Oklahoma.
Yeah,
Midwest.
Yeah, in the Midwest, the people who are affected by the storms, the tornadoes in the Midwest, keep them in our prayers. If there are no other special prayer requests to call out, let us go to God in prayer, spend a few moments in silent prayer, and then we'll close with a summarized prayer after that. Let us pray. Jesus said, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks will receive, and everyone who seeks will find. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened to you." Gracious and merciful God, we thank you for the gift of life, the gift of family, the gift of friends and fellowship and church, also that we can gather here today with good health and strength in our bodies. And we thank you for everything that you give us. Above all, we thank you for the eternal life that you gave us through your Son, Jesus Christ, who chose to come to this world to suffer for us and die. And he rose from the dead so that we can have eternity to be with you. We thank you again for your grace and mercies and your faithfulness every day. We come before you with our brokenness and our needs and burdens also, O God. Many of us are broken and weak and tired in many different ways. Some of us are sick in our bodies and we look to you for healing. Many of us have problems in our lives that we can't even share with others, Lord. But you are the great friend that we can share anything and everything with you, O God. And you are always close to us. Even youths grow tired and weary and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. When we are lonely, you become our friend. When we go through sorrows of grief and loss, you give us comfort and peace, O God, that the world cannot give. Thank you for always being there for us. Grant healing to those who need healing in their bodies and restore strength and power for them, Lord, especially the ones that we named here. We look to you for their healing. We pray for Jean McBrayer and Grace and Harry, Carol, Wayne and Jerry Rains, Sean and Amy Conway, and many others that we know and we don't know of that are seeking your healing, Lord. We pray that you will heal them and touch them with your healing hand. Your promise is that when your people unite in faith and bring the requests of their sick ones to God, God will answer our prayers and heal them. We trust in your promise, O God. We pray for those who are struggling with various problems in their lives, especially the earthquake victims and the tornado and the storm victims in the Midwest. We pray for your grace upon them and all the relief work people are doing there. Bless them with your grace. We pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and many others who serve us on a daily basis. We thank you for their services and also pray for their safety and their family's safety. We pray for our nation, our presidents, president, vice president, leaders of the Congress, and governors and mayors and many, many others who make decisions, that God will give them the wisdom to do the right things and make the right decisions that will bring love and peace and unity in this country and bless our nation. We pray for the world leaders also that they will also fear God when they make decisions that will bring peace to this world. We pray for our church. Thank you for this church and the ministry that you have given us to do here. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in everything we do, to use the opportunities that you've given us to serve this community, Lord. We pray for all the churches around us and the pastors and the people who work here and around the world, the missionaries, especially the ones who are working in many different parts of the world and in difficult situations. Bless them with your power, strengthen them with your power, and bless them with your grace. Lord, we pray that you be with us today, Lord. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit, in the singing, in the meditation of the word, and the prayers that we make and the lunch we participate today, Lord. Bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to all of us, Lord. We thank you again for your presence in our midst. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive our trespasses against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward and take up the offertory, please.
Please stand for the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for your presence in our lives. Please bless these offerings to further your kingdom and give hope to those in need. And let our faith grow ever stronger to draw us nearer to you each day. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please remain standing for the scripture reading, which comes from Hebrews chapter 7, verses 1 through 3 and verses 11 through 28. This Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him, and Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, the name Melchizedek means king of righteousness. Then also, king of Salem means king of peace. Without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, resembling the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. If perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priesthood, and indeed the law given to the people established that priesthood, why was there still a need for another priest to come, one in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron? For when the priesthood is changed, the law must be changed also. He of whom these things are said belonged to a different tribe, and no one from that tribe has ever served at the altar. For it is clear that the Lord descended from Judah, and in regard to that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests, and what we have said is even more clear if another priest like Melchizedek appears. One who has become a priest not on the basis of regulation as to his ancestry, but on the basis of power of an indestructible life. For it is declared, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect, and a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. And it was not without an oath. Others became priests without any oath. But he became a priest with an oath when God said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. Because of this oath, Jesus has become a guarantor of a better covenant. Now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office, but because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest truly meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priest, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once and for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priest men in all their weakness, but the oath, which came after the law, appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated.
Well, thank you once again, Lisa, for reading such a long passage of Scripture. I'm confident that one day soon God is going to give us a short passage and you'll get a little bit of a break. But that I know there's a lot to that passage. And it's it's a very complicated passage. And there's a lot there that really depends upon Old Testament history. But what I want us to do today, as we begin our study in just a moment, is I really want us to take a couple of the big picture ideas from that passage and talk about how Jesus has become a greater high priest, a high priest that was foreshadowed by this unusual figure in the Old Testament called Melchizedek. So before we do that, I always need prayer when I preach and teach, but particularly with a passage that this is this complicated, certainly need the Lord's help. So let's pray together, shall we? Would you bow with me? Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here today once again and speak of your Son. And Lord, I pray as we study your word today that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts and our minds so that we may see him more clearly, that we might have a more vivid picture of who he is today, what he has done for us, how he stands ready today to receive us and bring us near to you. So please come, Holy Spirit. Please come and open our hearts and give us faith. And Lord, bring those who might be distant from you very close today. Reclaim those, Lord, that have perhaps lost their way. If there are any here, Lord, who have never put their faith in that high priest, in Jesus the Christ, I pray today, Lord, you would enable them to do so. And Lord, for those who might be discouraged or weak, I pray, Lord, that you would lift up our hearts and lift up our eyes to see this one who is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So I don't know how familiar you are with the story of this Old Testament character, Melchizedek. He only appears once in the Old Testament, in Genesis chapter 14. Now, I want to just give you, I want to do a little informal survey here, okay? And nobody be embarrassed or anything, but I'm just curious, how many of you are familiar with the story of Melchizedek? Okay, so I've got my work cut out for me this morning. That's quite all right. And I realize that there's a lot in this passage. And I feel like there's a lot that that God would have me try to bring out of this passage today. But I'll share with you one of my weaknesses. I have a weakness when I preach the Bible or teach the Bible. If I feel like I have a lot to say, I have a tendency to get in a hurry. And I am, with God's help, I'm not going to do that this morning. Doesn't mean we're going to have a long sermon, Pastor, so... Take heart. I realize that there is food downstairs, and it's never a wise thing for a preacher to stand between a congregation and food. But even if I don't get through all of my notes today, I want to take my time to try to explain the significance of this Old Testament figure. Because the writer of the book of Hebrews makes a very intricate argument about why Jesus is a better high priest. In fact, if it's been often said, if you were to take the book of Hebrews and you were to boil it down into one simple idea, even just one word to describe what the book of Hebrews is about, you could boil it down to one word, and that one word is better. Better. The argument from the book of Hebrews is that Jesus is better. The folks that read this letter initially needed to hear that because they were struggling. Many of them had suffered for their faith. They had had things, property confiscated for them. They were living in a time where it brought suffering to be a follower of Jesus. And they were of Jewish descent. They were formerly Jews, Old Testament people. And in the midst of their suffering, they were tempted to go back. They were tempted to go back to what they used to know. Now, we can relate to that, can't we? I mean, we didn't come out of the Old Testament law, but for many of us, when we suffer, we have questions about our faith. It's very easy in those times to be tempted to go back to what we knew, to go back to the coping mechanisms or whatever things held us in the past. It's very easy for us to let go of our faith and gravitate to what we knew before. The writer of the book of Hebrews says to those readers, those first readers, don't do that. Don't go back. Don't go back. Because Jesus is better. Jesus is better than the angels. Jesus is better than Moses. Jesus' new covenant is better than the old covenant. And here's the point in chapter 7 that we want to focus on. Jesus' priesthood is better than the old priesthood in the temple. To get this point across, the writer of Hebrews, who's an extremely intricate writer, makes this argument from this figure in the book of Genesis, this priest called Melchizedek. And he's a very mysterious figure because it's the only time he appears in the Bible is in the book of Genesis. And then he is referenced one other time in the Old Testament in Psalm 110. And here's the story. Since we don't know it, let me try to give you a Reader's Digest version, okay, of Melchizedek. Do you remember Abram and Lot? You remember how Lot separated from Abram, and he went to a place called Sodom and Gomorrah. We all kind of have some contours of that story in our mind, don't we? And if you remember that story, as Lot is in Sodom and Gomorrah, there was a conflict that arose between a set of kings, four kings, led by a man by the name of Chedorlaomer. I can't believe I can say that, but I've listened to recordings of it over and over again. And this king went out to wage war against Sodom and Gomorrah, where Lot was. This king defeated the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he captured many of their people, including Lot, Abram's nephew. So the king, Chedorlaomer, and all of his other armies move out of Sodom and Gomorrah with the captives, including Lot. Abram gets word of this, that his nephew has been taken captive, and he's being led away by these foreign kings. And Abram takes his men, and by the strength of God, by the grace of God, Abram takes over these kings and defeats them, and he rescues Lot. As Abram is returning, the king of Sodom, who has been defeated, are y'all with me so far? This is a complicated story. Stay with me. The king of Sodom comes out and offers him some of the booty or whatever, the lot from the war. And in the midst of that scene, this very mysterious figure named Melchizedek steps into the conversation. Melchizedek is never heard from before or after that in a historical sense. No one knows where he came from. No one knows his lineage. No one knows his parents. But Abram, the Bible identifies him as a priest of the Most High God. And he blesses Abraham, and Abraham gives him tithes. And he is identified as a priest. Now, here's the argument. I know you may think, wow, this is... What does this have to do with me? May I humbly suggest to you that this could have a lot to do with you this morning. Because the writer of the book of Hebrews is saying that Jesus is like Melchizedek in this way. He has no beginning nor end. He is forever a high priest. Now Melchizedek, most people believe Melchizedek was just a man, but the way the story is told in Genesis, we don't know anything about his father or mother. So it appears that he is this figure that has no beginning and no end, and that he's always a priest because that's the only way we see him. The writer of the book of Hebrews is saying this. Jesus is like that in this way. Jesus is a priest forever. Forever. And then he quotes Psalm 110, where God says, where David says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God says this of his coming Messiah, "The Lord has sworn, and he will not change his mind." Speaking of Jesus, "You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Why does that matter? Why would that matter to people who are struggling with their faith, who are tempted to go back? It matters because they were tempted to go back into a religious system that relied upon human priests. Priests that would be born, priests that would die, priests that would come and go. And they would offer the sacrifices in the temple for a period of years, usually around 25 years was typically the longest those priests ever served. And then they would go out of service and they would eventually die. What the writer of Hebrews is saying is this, and this is what I want you to hear. Y'all have been so gracious. I can't believe you stayed with me. Are you still with me?
Yes.
All right, here's the first big point, just 2 points. We have a priest who abides forever. He has no beginning. He has no end. He is ever, forever, our high priest. Now, why does that matter? It matters because of this. No matter where you are in your life right now, no matter what struggles you may be going through, what battles you may be fighting, what pain you may have in your heart this morning, there is a priest for you. And he's not a human priest. He's not bound by time. He's not bound by human limitations. He is a priest, as the writer of Hebrews says in this text, who has been given an indestructible life. He abides forever. Now, as Pastor reminded us here at the beginning, we're still in, I know we've long passed Easter Sunday, but we're still in the Easter season, right? Until Pentecost in the church calendar. So what we're trying to do in these messages until Pentecost is we're trying to remind ourselves about the importance of the resurrection. When God says in Psalms 110 that he is going to send a Messiah who will abide forever, God made an oath. He says, I have sworn and I will not relent. There is going to be a priest who will be a forever priest. The resurrection of Jesus Christ enabled that oath to be fulfilled. Because when God raised Jesus from the dead, he raised him from the region of the dark and the damned to put him upon his throne, to enthrone him at his right hand as a priest forever. That means that, listen, no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, you never have to doubt that you have a high priest, because he has an eternal priesthood and he abides forever. So no matter how dark the night or no matter how intense the storm, if you think you cannot hold it together and you cannot hold on today to your faith, the good news is this: there is a high priest that can hold on to you. And he abides forever. There will never be a time when he is not. Therefore, there will never be a time when he is not there for you and for me. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is saying to these believers. No matter how hard it is, no matter how strong the temptation to go back, to turn away, turn your eyes upon Jesus. He is your high priest forever. Now there's a second point here that's very important too. And these 2 points go together. When the writer of Hebrews says that we have a high priest that abides forever, he has no beginning or end, he is eternal. That is a huge statement, to know that there is one that we can always turn to, no matter the stage of our life, the circumstances of our journey right now. There's always one that we can turn to. Now, I hope that is comforting to you this morning, that there's always the high priest there. But another very important point that the writer brings out is not just that Jesus always abides as a high priest, it is that he always abides in the same way as the same person in his own character. In other words, let me refer back to one passage. We don't have to scroll there or anything, but there is a verse in chapter 7, verse 24, that says he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. The word that is used there for permanently, it's only used that time in the New Testament. And it means something that lasts, it doesn't fade away. Okay, everybody get the comfort of that. But it also means something that does not change. Something that is unchangeable. You know, later in the book of Hebrews, one of the most famous verses is Hebrews 13:8, which says this: Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So it's not just that we have a high priest who is always there. We have a high priest who is always there in the same way. He never changes. As the hymn writer says in that beautiful hymn, "It is well with my soul." "Great is thy faithfulness." His compassions, they fail not. His compassions never fail us. The writer of Hebrews tells us we can hold on. We can continue in the faith. Because Christ has been raised from the dead. He has defeated the forces of darkness. He has been exalted to the right hand of the Father forever. He will always be our high priest. But he will always be the same high priest. Isn't that comforting?
Yes. Amen.
Yes. You ever dealt with somebody that is a moody person?
No.
I am so thankful. Thankfully that's not the case right now. Years ago I had a boss who was just always subject to his emotions. And you know, you never knew what you were going to get. You ever bet a boss like that? You ever had a family member like that? Yeah. You know how turbulent that can make your life? Yeah. You never know what you're going to get? Yeah. You know, is this person in a good mood today? Yeah, y'all don't be looking at your spouses now. I don't want to see anybody tapping each other on the shoulder. But do y'all know that feeling? Because you never know what the characteristics of that person is going to be. You never know how you're going to find that person. I want to say to you today, on the authority of the 7th chapter of the book of Hebrews, you never have that problem with Jesus. Because when you come to Jesus, He is always a merciful and faithful high priest. His compassions, they fail not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is not only forever, He is unchanging. And so the writer of the book of Hebrews says, hold on to Him. Don't go back. Don't waver. Don't give in to the temptation. Don't think that Jesus rejects you because you're tempted. Don't think that Jesus rejects you because you're weak. It is the weak and the tempted that Jesus came for. And His mercy and His steadfast love is directed towards you and directed toward me in an unchanging way. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thanks be to God. Now, just a couple of more arguments. I'm not going to cover them all, but let me give you two more. I'm going to pick and choose here. I'm looking at my notes. I'm looking at my notes and I'm looking at the clock. And I'm going to pick and choose.
They're not ready down there.
They're not ready. Food's not ready. Okay, well. But we want to be ready for them. We want to be.
Don't be in no hurry.
If you look at verse 8, and thank you, Pastor, verse 18 and 19, the writer of the book of Hebrews says something else that's so important for us to hear about this high priest. He is the only high priest that can truly bring us near to God. You know, the Old Testament priest, I know that you kind of remember the structure of the Old Testament tabernacle, later the temple, that there was only one place in the temple where God's presence was unhindered, where his presence was unabated, and God was present in fullness, and that was in the Holy of Holies. You remember the Ark of the Covenant, the Shekinah glory, the physical presence of God dwelt in the temple. But do you remember the sad and tragic thing about that presence of God in the temple? That there was a barrier there. Remember, there was a curtain. There was a giant curtain.
Amen.
It was an enormous curtain, and it separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies was where that unabated presence of God was. And that little place, that little chamber, if you remember your Old Testament history, it could only be entered how often? You remember?
Once a year.
Only once a year the high priest went in on the Day of Atonement and offered atonement for his sins and the sins of the people. And of course he went in with blood. But the writer of the book of Hebrews is making an argument that those high priests could not really bring us into the full presence of God, into an intimacy with God that was unabated and unblocked. Because the blood of bulls and goats could not really take away our sin. Later in the book of Hebrews, the writer makes this argument that Jesus did not go in behind a physical curtain into a physical chamber, but he went into heaven, into the very presence of God for us. And he did not go in with the blood of bulls and goats. He went in with his own blood. You know how the gospel writers account a beautiful manifestation, a confirmation of Jesus bringing us into the nearness of God. That when Christ died on the cross, you remember what Mark says? That veil, that curtain, that barrier between God and man, it was rent, it was torn from top to bottom. God reaching down, tearing down the barriers that were created by our sin, and saying to all of us, by the blood of his own Son, come near. He is able to bring us near, this high priest. Then lastly, let me just share this other argument that the writer makes. And it's a very important one in verse 27, if you want to look back at this later. Not only does our high priest bring us near, the way that he brought us near was through a once and for all sacrifice. Once and for all, Christ offered up himself for the sins of the world. Look at what it says there at the very end of 27. Thank you, Pastor. He sacrificed, talking about how the other high priests, they would have to offer sacrifices for their own sins and then for the sins of the people. They offered sacrifices, lambs and goats. But he sacrificed for sins. Look at what it says there. Once and for all, when he offered himself. Christ's sacrifice was a complete sacrifice. And I want you, I'm going to try to bring this point to bear now, and we'll close, okay? But I want to ask you to stay with me just for a moment, because this is so important. I think there's a way in which you'll never understand the depths of the gospel, the depths of God's love for you, until you understand this, till I understand this. Christ paid it all. His payment on the cross, it was not a down payment. It was a full payment. once and for all, he offered up himself. Did you hear what the writer says? What did he offer? He offered himself. That is the depths of Christ's love for us. You know, let me tell you something, and this is free marriage counseling, Pastor, for the congregation, okay? I want to tell you the best present you can give your spouse. Now, I don't always do this, but this is good advice, okay? Let me tell you the best present you can give your spouse. Yourself. In some way. Or the best present you can give your friend. Or your grandchild. Yeah, every year, there's countless children in our country who gets presents under the tree, and hopefully they're very thankful for those, and that's a wonderful thing to celebrate. But I tell you that the very best present you can give for a child is to give them something of yourself. Time. You want me to tell you something else? Those are the most expensive gifts. Now, I love gift cards. I'm the worst to buy gift cards. My wife's probably going to give me a long lecture today. Got a long ride back to where I live. So she'll say, you better start practicing what you preach. Gift cards are wonderful. Sometimes they can be, but I'm just saying, sometimes the best way to show somebody that you love them is something that takes out of you. It's time. It's investment. It's listening. Am I making any sense? That it is a giving of self that is in so many cases the most powerful expression of love. Christ gave himself in the most comprehensive, radical way we can imagine. He gave himself up for our sins once and for all. So listen to me, dear ones. Christ is not holding anything over your head this morning. The sins that shame us, the sins that keep us from coming near, have been laid upon him once and for all. I'll close with this. I'm a church history buff. I love church history. I want to tell you something about something that's in your history as a Methodist congregation. You probably know this, but you know the Methodist movement in England came out of the Anglican Church, the Church of England, and when the Methodist Church, when John Wesley formulated the doctrinal statements of the Methodist Church, there were 39 articles in the Church of England, doctrinal statements, and John Wesley condensed those. But one of the articles that he kept, one of the articles of faith that would have been in this church's founding documents years ago, was a statement about the death of Christ and the fullness of his sacrifice. And I just want to read this very brief statement about the immensity of Christ's sacrifice for your sins and for mine. This is the 31st article from the Church of England, which says, "The offering of Christ once made is that perfect redemption, propitiation, and satisfaction for all the sins of the whole world, both original and actual. And there is no other satisfaction for sin but that alone." There is no other satisfaction for sin but that of Christ. But his satisfaction is complete. For he offered up himself once for all for the sins of the world. He is your high priest, forever your high priest, forever unchanging. Would you draw near to him today? Would you draw near to him by faith as we as we close this service, would you sing that? We're going to sing, "My Hope is Built on Nothing Less than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness." Is that where your hope is today? I pray that it is. I pray that your faith is in Christ and nothing else. And if it's not today, would you turn to Him? Would you turn to Him in simple faith and ask for His grace and ask for His mercy? He is there for you. A forever, faithful, unchanging high priest. Amen.
Our closing hymn is hymn number 368, "My Hope is Built on Nothing Less than Jesus' Blood." If you are able, please stand. 368.
That you can join us today as we gather with our brothers and sisters from the other congregation and break bread together. If you didn't bring anything, that's quite all right. I know there's plenty of food down there, so I hope you can join us for the fellowship. And until then, either we'll see you next week or down there, please receive the benediction. Now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before His glory, with exceeding great joy, to the only wise God our Savior be honor, glory, majesty, dominion, and power both now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Amen.